Well, here in Nova Scotia, we are in the cold days of winter. Temperatures have been dropping, wind chills have been going up. Here at the Nova Scotia SPCA, our investigations team is also responding to a lot more calls about the cold weather. So today, we're going to talk about cold weather, companion animals, and how you can act. Joining me today is the frozen popsicle that is our new deputy chief inspector, Paul Hunter. Paul, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So, Paul, just to let everybody know that what did you just do? Give us the Coles Notes version of what we literally just came in from.
So the test was for me to go out in minus 11, but with the wind chill factor minus 19. Just to show how humans would react to the extreme cold, and we can dress as much or as little as we want. We have the choice, but our companion animals don't have that choice. But I would like to add, while I was sat there in specific clothing, the two people that were assisting me were there in their fishing jackets, toques, and were complaining about the cold. So I feel heartfelt for them.
I'm still complaining. My legs are still cold. I didn't wear long johns. So,
See?
yes, I was one of them out there and I was cold. And so I can't imagine how cold you were. And I can't imagine, it really hammered home to me how cold animals would be outside. So let's start with, the experiment that we just did. So we did it in the summer with Chief Inspector Struband, where he was in a car in the heat. We did give him a popsicle, I believe. We've given you a coffee. We're benevolent.
Which was in the office.
And so you were outside for 15 minutes in the cold. And let's start with what clothing you were wearing, what were the choices to try to emulate as close as we could to people think a dog has fur, it's going to be warm. So what were you wearing?
So we consulted with one of the vets here at the hospital
Tartan
and
tails.
Tartan Tails. And I wasn't allowed to wear a toque because they wanted to show that my ears, like a companion animal's ears, would be affected by the extreme cold, and they were. I had a t-shirt, a base layer, and just a fleece jacket on to kind of copy what a dog's fur would have worn that would actually keep them. No leggings, normal shoes, and a pair of jeans. And yes, I could just imagine what our companion animals go through if they're left out in extreme cold. Because I was starting to get to the point where the staff here were saying, "Are you okay to keep going, or do you want to end this?" And I'm saying, "No, I'll keep going. I'll tap it when I can." But our companion animals can't do that.
And I think it's interesting because I think I asked you that just at the 5 minute mark because your face is starting to get like red and you were talking about your ears. And one of the things that our veterinarians here had said in cold weather is to watch the tips of a dog's ears. And so when you said your ears, I went into like, okay, maybe we can't do this experiment.
Yeah, it was about 3.5 minutes in, and I started to feel the tip of my ear starting to burn, and I can feel them burning now. And I could feel my cheeks getting flush, which apparently is one of the signs, for humans is to get really cold is the flush cheeks. And then I was starting to feel, I was starting to struggle with concentrating with what I was saying because my mouth was so cold. At one point I had to take the, what I'll call a cheat sheet to read from it because I was really finding it hard to remember the notes. And so it was an interesting experiment for me to see what they go through.
And just take me, when we talk about the clothing. So you wanted to wear your toque.
I wanted to wear my toque and I was overruled.
But, was that an eye-opener for you when the Dr. Weir at Tartan Tail said no toque?
Yes, and when she explained why, I was like, I hadn't really thought of it that way before. As I mentioned earlier, we have the choice as to what we wear when we go out in this weather so we can stay warm. Our companion animals don't have that. They rely 100% on us to make sure they're warm and comfortable. And in this weather, They can't stay out very long before it starts to affect them. Even the larger breeds, you know, the huskies and those that are used to the cold, their paws don't have that much protection if they don't have shelter and warmth where they can get away from the cold concrete or sidewalk or pad. They don't have that choice.
I don't want to complain, but I was cold while you were talking, so I had to pick up my coffee.
They did complain.
No, and I mean, like, you know, in all seriousness, we're cold, but in all seriousness, you know, I think when we talked about doing this, I really did think that you could wear more layers. You know, I did think long johns and a toque. So it was eye-opening for me as well. When, you know, we got to the 5-minute mark, and there's a video that accompanies this so that people can watch you in a condensed version of the 15 minutes. But we got to the 5-minute mark, and we were starting to think, okay, can we continue? And you did. And so at the 10-minute mark, what were you feeling?
That's when I started to notice that it was getting harder to concentrate on what I was supposed to be saying. And again, my ears were really starting to burn, my cheeks, my legs, because I was sat down, not allowed to move, so I could raise my body temperature. So you could feel when you get really cold, the blood rushes to the vital organs and goes away from the limbs. And that was really interesting for me, just to be able to sit there, because my normal reaction would be get up and start jumping around or doing something to keep warm. And not be able to do that was really interesting for me, because I could feel the cold really affect the body.
So at the 10-minute mark, we started to talk about how in the summer with Kevin, we had a popsicle melting and that we should have put a bowl of water down. Yeah. And so let's talk about if I am a dog owner and I think, well, the dog can go outside. It likes to play in the snow. I'm just going to sit here and do some work. I'll put out a bowl of water. You know, what are the things that you would like pet owners to know about cold weather and companion animals outside?
If you put a bowl of water outside in this temperature, it's not going to be long before it's frozen. And at that point, your companion animal no longer has access to fresh water in accordance with the Animal Protection Act. So if we turn up, because we get a complaint of an animal being left outside, that's one of the things we look for. And if it doesn't have fresh water it can drink, that's one of the things we have to address straight away. You can buy bowls that will keep the water warm so it doesn't freeze, but the animal shouldn't be left outside. For the amount of time that it takes the water to freeze, the animal shouldn't be left outside that long.
Right, it shouldn't be a...
No.
Your plan.
No.
No.
Let them go outside, do their thing, then bring them back into the warmth.
And what about, you know, people might say, oh, I have a Pyrenees, I have, you know, a Husky. And they do, you know, those are animals that like cold weather. But unless you're constantly monitoring them outside, if they're shivering, you know, should people let them be outside, or shouldn't it be like some exercise? And then just the best thing is bring them in.
The best thing is always to bring them back in the extreme cold like this. As you mentioned, some breeds are happy in the cold, but if they're in a concrete pad or in a patio, then their pads will still be affected. The gloves I was wearing today were very thin to emulate an animal's pads, and I could feel it through the gloves. And although they have protection, you can't keep them out there for a long time before they start to get affected, and their ears will get affected as well. So let them go out, do their thing, and monitor them, and then bring them back into the warmth.
And I think that one of the things that we were saying is, you know, animals need exercise. And so taking them on some short walks, but being careful of watching, like, the pads, because ice could cut, and salt, but also enrichment that you can do in the house during these cold days.
Definitely. And one of the signs that the pads have been affected is the dogs will start to lift their paws off. And in some areas where the roads are salted, smaller dogs find that really painful on their pads just to walk through the salt. But there are, as you mentioned, there's exercise you can do to keep them occupied inside. Even if they want to get outside in the cold, keep them occupied. If you go to work, do not leave your animals outside for long periods of time, because that's when they start to suffer.
Yeah.
Especially today, our calls will go up exponentially because of animals being left outside.
And I want to talk about that in a bit. I want to get to know Paul for a second here. So we play a game on the podcast. I'm going to put my coffee down because it does involve a toy. Thank you. So we play a game called Fetch.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a lightning round to get to know you. And so we'll throw you the ball and you'll answer and then throw it back. So are you ready to play a game of Fetch?
Sure.
Okay. So who was your first pet?
My first pet was a German Shepherd called Ben that I rescued from a kennel that had been there for 3 years. And being in a kennel for 3 years, he had some weird traits, but I had him for 7 years after I rescued him. An awesome dog.
If animals could talk, who would be the nicest?
Chihuahuas.
Oh, see, this is where the game goes haywire. If animals could talk, who would be the rudest?
Oh, who would be the rudest animal? Cat and dog?
Just animal.
Cat then.
Cat.
Cat would be the rudest.
Okay. And you are a hero to a lot of pets. Who is Paul's hero?
My parents. They're the ones that basically brought me up and taught me all the values that I currently have today. So they would be my heroes.
Lovely. Thank you for playing Fetch with me.
Thank you for not catching the ball.
So, Paul, I think it's going to be obvious to our listeners that you are not from Nova Scotia. So let's learn a little bit more about you and how you came to the Nova Scotia SPCA. So where are you from? Because that's going to be the first question everybody's listening. Where is he from?
I'm originally from Edinburgh in Scotland, in the UK. I moved to Canada in 2006 in Edmonton, and Edmonton is known for its brutal winters. The temperature can get down to, I think the record was minus 42.
Mm.
And it's been doing that every year for the last few years. So when I come out here to Nova Scotia with the different climate, thankfully there aren't as many freezing cold days. Like, I think we had minus 25 recently,
mm-hmm.
which was brutal. But I moved here to Nova Scotia 2.5 years ago for family reasons, and joined the SPCA here about 4 months ago this week.
Yes, you joined when I was in Scotland.
That's right. I met you the day before or 2 days before you flipped Scotland. Yeah,
yeah, it gave me some tips.
Yeah.
And so what is your background that brought you to the investigations team?
So my background is I was a police officer and police sergeant in the police in the UK. I moved to Alberta, and then I was a sergeant in the Alberta Sheriffs, and then an inspector with the Alberta Sheriffs doing the close protection for the Premier of Alberta for four premiers. And I've done law enforcement for 34 years of my life. So
wow.
More than half of my life is...
Since you were a wee bird.
Just a wee baddie.
Well, we're happy to have you here. How are you finding working in animal welfare?
The hardest part of the job in animal welfare is dealing with the condition that we find the animals in and how they're being treated. And we wish that we could educate the public as to what the appropriate treatment of animals was, so that my goal is to not be as busy as we are.
So we want people to act. So they see a situation with an animal in the cold, and what is it that we want them to do? So start with A.
So assess the situation. Is the animal left outside? Is it tethered? Does it look like it has a shelter where it can stay warm out from the cold? Does it have water? And you're not always able to assess that situation in just a few seconds as you might be driving past. But is this animal left out every day? Is it left out for hours when you go to work, when you come back? Is it still there? Take in as much information as you can, because that helps us when somebody may call in a complaint, then it helps us deal with the situation and know what we're dealing with before we even turn out at the door.
So when we say C for collect the information, what information when somebody is reporting cruelty do they need to have? And they can, and then also how, we'll talk about how next. So what information should they collect?
Time of day, temperature, breed of the animal, what they've seen, how long it's been out for, and any signs and symptoms that they see. Is the animal shivering? Is it raising its paws because the paws are being affected by the cold? Or is it not moving at all? Then that becomes a 911 call for us.
So then we say, T, it's time to call. So how can people report?
So we have an online email complaint system that's one way. We have the ability to call into the 1-888 number to call and tell us. They can also call the shelters and let the shelters know, and then we get the information from the shelters. So there's various ways. People can come in and actually pop in and tell us as well, but the most expeditious way would be to make an email complaint that we get straight away.
And so that's animals@spcans.ca.
Yes.
So there's the email, there's the 1-800-888 number, there's an online form, and all of that will be in the description of the video of the podcast for people
yes.
to know. So act, assess the situation, collect the information, time to call.
Yeah.
So when we talk about act, when you woke up this morning, you knew it was going to be a cold day, because we looked at the weather and we were going to film this. And what did you think the call volume is going to be like on a day like today?
On a day like today, our call volume for animals being left out in the cruelty complaints will easily double. In an average day, we might get, I don't have the stats in front of me, but maybe 30, 40 calls for assistance. On days like this, that could easily double.
Right, high.
Yeah, so it's a high call volume just for animals being left out in the cold.
And so do you want to reinforce the collecting of the information and the timely, like calling us? Is there things that out of the act that you would like to reinforce?
Yes, again, photographs if possible. Video is great. And also, you know, breed of the animal, previous history. If you've seen this happening a lot on various days, how long it's been happening for? If you know who the owners are, the address of the where the animal is staying, and the temperature at the time that you're making the complaint, because it could be early afternoon and it's warm. We get the complaint in the evening and it's dropped to minus 10, minus 15. So as much information as you get put together and actually sent to us.
Yeah, because that's a lot of calls to sift through and to send out, and we're province-wide.
Yes.
And so you have like officers
from Yarmouth to the tip of Cape Breton, and it's a huge area to cover.
It is.
And so the more information we have, the more of an assessment we can make as to whether or not this is an urgent call that we have to actually act on right now and stop what we're doing and go straight there for the welfare of the animal.
And those officers, you know, thank them because they're out there in the cold and they're doing great work.
Yes, but they're allowed to wear warm clothing.
Yes, they are allowed to wear. Tell me again. No, but honestly, tell me again, because how are you feeling now? We've been inside recording this podcast for about 25 minutes from when you left the chair and I said, go in right away.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling now?
I feel all warm and fuzzy now. That's awesome. But I did a polar plunge for charity a few years ago. And the interesting thing about the polar plunge is when you come out, your body feels like an electrical signaling is going throughout the whole body because all the cells and nerve endings are firing. I had that in my face when I came in.
Yeah.
It stopped now, but you can tell you've been in extreme cold. And if I was going out to a call, I would dress appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have been sat outside with no coffee and no toque for 15 minutes.
Well, my legs are still, like, I can't imagine how you're feeling. I can't imagine how animals feel it because, like, my legs are still cold.
Yeah, it's, and animals can't talk. They can't tell us how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. So we have to look for the external signs and our expertise and history with certain breeds. And we have to make an assessment based on our previous knowledge on what the animals are going through.
So once again, let's just give us the, you know, some of the signs that we need, you know, the animal needs to be brought in now.
The big one is shivering. If you see an animal shivering, get it in straight away. If you see it lifting its paws because the paws are on cold concrete or something, take it in straight away. You literally shouldn't be leaving the animal outside for any length of time. Let it go outside, take care of its business, and then bring it in.
And I think, like what we've said in the summer is, you know, if it's, you know, if the weather is cold, they don't need to go in a car ride with you.
No, because you go to your grocery shopping or you take care of business, the animal's inside, you switch off the ignition, that car will get very, very cold very, very quickly. It's literally a metal box, which makes it colder inside than outside. So you could go on for 10 minutes and you come back, and the inside of the vehicle could be matching the outside temperature.
Right. And we know at 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's cold.
It's very cold, yeah.
So again, assess the situation. You see an animal, you want to just reinforce, ACT to everybody?
Yes. Use the acronym, assess.
Collect.
Collect, and then time to call. And don't hesitate to call us. We'll make the assessment on our end and act appropriately.
Exactly. Don't think, well, they're busy, they've got a lot of calls.
No.
Tell us. Tell the SPCA.
We need to know so we can look after the welfare of the animal.
Well, Paul, I really do want to thank you because you are new to the organization and I came in and asked you to do this experiment and I'm sure you were like, what is why?
I thought it was hazing.
But I appreciate that you did this with good humor, and I know that you did this to help people out there, pet families, understand the best thing that they can do for their animals. So thank you very much.
No, thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, please give us 5 stars, and please share it with fellow animal lovers in your life. You can find this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, and you can see the video of Paul outside in the cold on our social media. Thanks for listening, and please keep your animals warm.